the best in the world.
I've been the best ever since day one. On this microphone, in that ring, even in commentary. And trust me when I tell you, I am the hottest property in this industry today. Nobody can touch me. The only thing that's real is me, day in and day out. I am the best in the world. Do I have everybody's attention now?
People, I said, what up, people?
Welcome to a delayed edition of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast, featuring the one and only Mike Steph, best in the world at what he does. Yeah, man, I'm back. I'm back a day later than I normally am. There's plenty of reason for that, but I have no excuse. Shoot, tell you the truth, I could have took this week off. Tell you the truth, even more so, I should have took this week off because I'm still feeling a little bit not quite right. Have my trusty cup of tea that hopefully will allow my voice to last this however long I decide to go. I'm still battling allergies slash cold or what have you. My whole thing is I don't got a fever. That means it's not the Rona. I don't have a stuffed nose. That means it's not the Rona. But this throat, this sore throat, or this, it's just very irritating. I've been saying for the longest, ever since the pandemic, ever since the invention of the coronavirus, a lot of people have tried so many things or changed their habits so much to make sure that they wouldn't get sick, that, you know, you're not getting as many colds as you used to get. You're not getting the flu. I used to get the flu like every year between Christmas and New Year's, I catch the flu. It was just the way of life. I would catch a cold, you know. Allergies really didn't bother people so much, but regardless. So now, since it's been 3 years, and unfortunately I had to run the two times, but besides that, I really didn't get a cold. Haven't got a regular cold. And with all that being said, guess what? This is the intro. When I woke up a couple days ago, just feeling a little run down. I'm like, okay, well, you know, weather's changing. You know, my body's starting to get used, or it hasn't been acclimated to the new, you know, to different weather. We put the clocks back, so everybody's running in molasses and so forth. Then Friday, like, I woke up and my throat is like, hurt to swallow. Went back to sleep, woke up later on, thought it's okay, but just anyway, so I'm going to let y'all know right now, once again, this will not be a long edition. I don't know. It's almost like it's becoming easier for me to chop these shits down to at least an hour. But the reason why this won't be a long edition is because, well, actually two reasons. One, I do have to talk about my JET at Jets, unfortunately, but that's the thing that I do. And it's not a lot of positive platitudes that I could spew when it comes to the dreck once again that I saw last night. But more importantly is the reason why this pod is delayed by one day, or in your case, a couple hours. I really had to summon the gumption, summon the strength to actually not skip a week. And that's due to a situation that happened at my shoot job. Now, people who know me personally, who know what I do for a living, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. People who don't, which is the majority of y'all, just for, you know, just to keep everything a little tidy and not to really incriminate, not even say incriminate, but not to put myself on the chopping block, I will not be saying exactly what happened, but I'll allow y'all to read between the lines, right? This past Saturday at my shoot job, and yeah, this is going to be pretty much my intro. I'm not devoting a whole segment to it, so the intro is going to be my segment of talking about what's going on. Matter of fact, this is what I'll do. I got to let y'all know this up top. A lot of times, the whole point of me starting a podcast was because I had salty thoughts to spew, hence the name Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph. Even in this previous iteration, probably even more so in my previous iteration, I would go off the beaten path of sports, and I would talk about the society at large. I'll talk about politics. I'll talk about what have you, you know, family dynamics, what have you, right? Kind of diverted from that and kind of stuck straight to sports. And occasionally I veer off into talking about Mitt Benson, aka Eric Adams, but this had nothing to do with him. But at the end of the day, this whole thing was a form of therapy for yours truly, just to get a lot of things off my chest, especially since my quote unquote rap career, if you want to call that, call it what it was, kind of winded down. I was like, you know what? I still need an outlet. I'm still, I need a creative outlet. And I started the podcast. So neither here nor there. But even more so this week, this will be a form of therapy because my head was kind of effed up. And you'll probably understand more as I actually get into it, like right now. So Saturday is my Friday, pretty much my last day of the work week. A lot of times Saturday in my shoot job is nice and easy. And tell you the truth, most of the days are nice and easy, but especially Saturdays, nice and easy. And I usually have no problems. I do my 8 hours, get out of there, wait for my 2 days off, right? So I'm en route to my job, and I get a text on the group chat with me, Smitty from the group home from Bergen Beach, and my boy, Zao, my boy, Al. So he is on the group chat. Yo, some shit went down on the parkway, right? And I'm like, all right, so there's like three different parkways, right? So I'm like, yeah, I was driving. I saw something happen at the parkway. So, you know, he was like, oh, no, that's free and clear. I'm like, okay, there's only two other parkways, and I passed that one also, and I didn't see no type of activity. So he must be talking about the one that I'm currently en route to. And sure enough, ding! Yeah, Mike, yo, set your parkway. I'm like, wow. Okay. I'm driving, and on my way there, I'm veering out the way because I have FDNY trucks zooming in the opposite direction. That's why I thought it was at the other parkway. Sure enough, I get this, like I said, I get this message maybe about two blocks away from my destination. And when I pull up to the destination, I see nothing but chaos. I see EMS. I see firefighters. I see police officers. I see people just outside wandering around. I'm like, this is going to be interesting, right? I deal with anxiety. I have anxiety problems. I've gotten more, under wraps. You know, I've kind of managed them better now, but regardless, shit's not great when it comes to situation that I'm about to walk into. But make sure my shit is calm. I go in, chaotic situation. Unfortunately, somebody lost their life at my place of business. And all the things that come with that, in my true job definition, is to kind of manage the public at large while they take care of the situation. That wasn't the hard part. Like, I mean, that's what I signed up for to a certain degree. You know, sometimes it's almost like casting a die. Sometimes it falls on your box. Sometimes it falls other places. I've been lucky for the last 20 years that die has only been cast in my direction twice. This would be the second time. But this one was a little bit more intense because we had the theme of the day, desensitivity. Insensitivity to other people's feelings, right? Now, it's always somber, no matter what the cause, no matter what the reason, when somebody loses their life. Whether by choice, whether crime was committed, what have you, a life is lost. And I believe it should be treated as such. It should be treated with the sensitivity that is needed. Whether you're desensitized from it yourself, whether you force yourself to be desensitized from it because of the job title that you hold, you should be sensitive to those around you, if possible, right? So while they're taking care of the situation, I have one officer, he's just almost like giddy. Like, oh, yes. Did you see the body? Oh, my God. You know, they're about to remove the body. Like, I know what the situation is. I don't really need it reinforced to me. I just don't. So, not only that, but he's, like, jumping up and down, like, just so happy that I guess that maybe this is his first one. Maybe he's one of those dudes that get off on, maybe he's a necrophiliac. You know, maybe he wanted to witch guard. Maybe he wanted to have his way with the deceased body. Who knows? But he was just a little bit too chipper in this situation, right? I'm kind of trying to block it out my system, block it out my head, because I'm like, all right, look, I'm not going down there to witness it. I wasn't witness of it. I kind of see afar and could put dots together. But fine. I know what happened. So, long story short, they, in my place of business, everything is go, 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 go. So, things must resume as quickly as possible. Life is lost. Okay, remove lost life. Resume what you need to resume. Which, once again, kind of spotlights the sensitivity of the situation, but by necessity. And I understand that. I do. I truly do. Doesn't mean I agree with it. Doesn't mean that my mental agrees with it. But like I said, I understand what I signed up for. So in a case like that, sometimes you're ready before they come, the ME office or what have you, comes to collect. So you need someplace for storage. Yes, I know this sounds so macabre. Now, with the myriad, there's that word again, the myriad of potential places they could use for storage, they chose to use the one place that I cannot avoid using every day at my shoe job. A water closet, if you will. That's the English terminology for Google it. I'm like, so I actually said, I'm like, I think I'm playing. Or I might say it in a way that belies the seriousness that I mean, but there's no other place y'all can use as a storage place. Like, this is something I have to use every day, sometimes multiple times a day. And for me to know that that was used for storage, or what you call a temporary morgue, it's kind of fucking with my head. And people are like, nah, hey, look, which Corby, we cleared the area. Cause you know, and trust, don't believe, don't worry about it. We're gonna sanitize the area. Don't worry about it. You're not gonna have. That's not the point. The point is the fact that I can kind of visualize and kind of partially see a body bag being put into a water closet, waiting for the coroner to come pick up said body. Now, unfortunately, and I'm not going to make this about me at all, but unfortunately, I've dealt with a lot of passings. Just this year, I've dealt with a lot of passings. And I haven't gotten over none of them. So that kind of put in my face all the memories, all the thoughts that I have weekly, kind of just, it's almost like a roller deck, like, but now I will say one of my superiors, I told them I appreciate them greatly because they kind of gave me the heads up, like, look, coroner's here, they're about to remove. You know, do you want to take a walk? Because I know you don't want to be witness to this. I know it's kind of messing with you. And I'm like, look, I appreciate it. I went the opposite way, waited about 15, 20 minutes till everything was clear. Come back. All right. Well, yeah, everything. We back up for business. Meanwhile, I'm still there for another 5 hours having to deal with it, and then still having to try to figure out, like, all right, well, I can maybe try to avoid to go to that water closet today, but I'm here for at least for the foreseeable future. I'm not going to be able to avoid it. I go in, I just have to smell of bleach. So I say all that to say this. In a lot of ways, it's crazy. In a lot of ways, society at large has become ultra sensitive on a lot of issues to me that to be personally, you know, to be blunt about, like, yo, it is what it is. Fuck y'all so sensitive for. But in situations where I believe there needs to be a certain type of tact involved, seems like society just doesn't get it. Like, and that officer that I referred to is not the only person that was just like everything is modus operandi. Like, all right, look, this is what we got to do. Blah, 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 blah. Yo, yeah, we got to come down. We got to take a picture, write it up. Blah, blah, blah. And it was almost like people was looking at me like, why are you so worked up? It's not like you witnessed it. You came in after the fact. Yeah, I came in after the action. But still, everything is going. I know there's a life force. There's like a spirit around. Make it even more difficult. Had people come after everything was kind of back to normal. come and ask, well, you know, for information, which I'm not really privy to give. And it was like, well, you know, it was our neighbor's husband. So we were trying to find, I'm like, he was picked up. And they asked me again, and I said, that was it. Yeah, I know. But like I said, I can't be insensitive to, because God forbid something happened around my way, something to that effect, and I couldn't get in touch with my wife. I couldn't get in touch with my daughters. My mind would be running, especially if that was a routine of, look, they go to this area. They're normally home or they're normally available around this time. I'm hearing pieces of what's going on. So but like I said, it's just the flippantness of, yeah, it's almost like you gotta get a broom and brush it to the side because everything gotta get back on schedule. The best thing, and there's no such thing as best thing, but only thing that was in my favor was the fact that I was off the next 2 days. So that brings me to yesterday. I just could not, I won't say couldn't function, but I was still in a daze. So I'm letting you know, there's not going to be any Mike Steph must have bumped his motherfucking head this week, because I didn't win anything. And at the end of the day, considering the circumstances, doesn't really matter. I mean, never really matters because it's my money. But I wasn't even in depth looking, like checking, like, oh, they screwed me. Oh, this team screwed me. Oh, I missed it by this point. So there's not going to be no Mike must have bumped his mother effing head segment this week. Yeah, I gambled. I lost. Big deal. The majority of the day, to be perfectly blunt, I laid on the couch. I attempted to watch football. And I saw the offerings, and I'm like, I don't want to watch either one of these games. Which, good thing for me, because San Francisco blew the hell out of Jacksonville. 34-3. And Pittsburgh and Green Bay was not my cup of tea. Pittsburgh won. Whoop-de-damn-do. So, and then the 4 o'clock game was the Giants and the Cowboys, and I already knew how that was going to play out. So I didn't watch that either. I ended up watching Law and Order Marathon. Matter of fact, I ended up watching the last episode of season 5 of Cobra Kai, because I had to catch up on that. And when the hell did Cobra Kai become so R-rated? Like, trust me, I'm not complaining. But, I mean, we had 2 fake deaths. Look, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert. Listen, it's been on Netflix for how many months? Y'all didn't watch that shit, that's on you. But I thought John Kreese was poked up, end up being a pack of Jell-O so he could make his escape. I thought Chosen, it got sliced the fuck up by Silver with the katana blade. He survived. Johnny was about to be done for until he hulked up at the sight of his sonogram for his unborn baby. He kicked ass. And Robbie and Tori, they made out. Miguel and Sam, they made out. Yeah, it was a grand old time. But yeah, I watched that. And then I watched a marathon of my favorite show, Law and Order SVU, Benson and Stabler. And this marathon was based on Unstoppable Stabler. Stabler had cracked ribs, didn't miss a beat. Stabler had temporary blindness, didn't miss a beat. Stable's wife got into a car accident and had to give birth in the ambulance. Stable showed up in the chopper. This didn't miss a beat. I watched that pretty much until my New York JET Jets started. And even then, I didn't give my full attention to the Jets because I knew what was about to fucking happen. I knew it. I was hoping that what's going to happen, but I knew the shit was going to happen. And once again, they did what they always do. And they grab a hold to your heart, squeeze it, pump it a little bit, and then snatch it out your hat. Snatch it out your chest. So yeah, that was how my Sunday went. So that's why, especially at the end of my Sunday, normally it kind of worked out. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do a podcast. I'm going to give y'all a fresh reaction, a quick reaction, if you will. But I just didn't feel the urge to do so because I felt like, if anything, and maybe this is just on me, but I felt like what I went through this weekend deserved, or should I say, I deserved to pay respect to somebody I didn't even know, but it affected me as such. So I just felt like, you know what? One day is not going to kill me. One day is not going to kill the masses, especially off a Jet loss. And in the big picture of things, does any of this really matter? Of course it does, but not as much as a human life being lost. So that's why that's my long-winded 26-minute explanation of why y'all getting this episode a day later. Matter of fact, a couple hours later, half a day later, what have you. So with all that being said and done, let's get this ish on the rig. Huh? Without further ado, good night. Mwah! And goodbye. Back! The Jets, my New York Jets, Jets, lost yet again in excruciating fashion on primetime football, on Sunday Night Football to be exact, this time against the Las Vegas Raiders. We were effectively walked off the plank. But I should have actually adjusted that. We walked ourselves off the plank. You see, the Jets, America's team, yes, I said it, America's team is almost like a lot like America. A lot of self-inflicted wounds. A lot of careless mistakes. A lot of undisciplined actions. That's enough of my political speaking. But one thing does remain. We should have won this game. And there is one series of plays in particular that when I saw this and saw the outcome, I knew exactly how the rest of the game was going to play out. And I effectively kind of detached myself up until the last 20 minutes or so where they reeled me back in. Second quarter. We're driving down. We're deep inside Las Vegas territory. Zach Wilson scrambled out for a 20-yard gain, which at first glance seemed like a 23-yard touchdown run. That would have put us up 13-3. And I believe with that 10-point lead, with a play to our strength, which is our defense, which is our pass rush, and against what the Vegas Raiders tried to accomplish, which was ball control, run the rock with Josh Jacobs, and allow Aiden O'Connell not to be forced to carry the team. We were 3 yards short. Matter of fact, even more so, we was about 1 inch short of getting 13-3 because upon further review, Zach Wilson was found to have stepped out at the 3 yard line. As soon as I saw that the touchdown was overturned, I knew we were not going to get a touchdown on that drive. I knew we were going to be forced to settle for a field goal and keep it within striking distance for our strength not to become our strength and for their weakness not to be exploited. I don't even consider that so much a mistake. It's happenstance. Okay, he stepped out. Look, he gained 20 yards. He dived for the pylon. It happens. The ensuing play is what got my ire up. The ensuing play is what pissed me off. The ensuing play is what has me wondering, why the is this dude on our team? The ensuing play, we give the rock to Breece Hall. Breece Hall breaks a couple tackles, gets in to the end zone. Once again, 13-3. Yeah, it's go time. Only it wasn't go time because that little yellow piece of laundry that was on the ground already knew. Holding. This touchdown is not going to count. There's two touchdowns that just got called back. Not only that, we're going to be marched 10 yards back. So now it's going to be first and goal at the 13. The way our offense is, there's no way in hell we weren't going to be settling for that field goal because Hackett was going to be scared to death, scared to put the ball in Zach Wilson's hands to try to get us into the end zone. And we settled for a field goal. 9-3 is a lot different than 13-3. 9-3 is one score. 13-3 is two scores. Preferably 13-3 means you have to get a touchdown and an additional score to even tie us. That gives the defense a little bit more cushion. We give up a field goal toward the end of the first half. We go into halftime 9-6, and I said, you know what? This game is effectively over. Not in our favor, no. This game is effectively over, as in, we're not winning this game because it gave the Raiders that sliver of hope. It gave AP, Suge Knight himself on the Las Vegas sideline. It gave him enough ammunition to go into halftime and rev his team up and let his team know, look, we still got 30 minutes to play. They don't want it. We got to show how much we want it. So you know what I did? I effectively detached myself from the second half up until midway through the fourth quarter. Once the Raiders was up 16-9, I knew that
we're not going to be able to score a touchdown. And the touchdown only ties the game. We went into this game, what? 7 quarters plus overtime without scoring a touchdown. We come out of this game 11 quarters plus overtime without scoring a touchdown. We drew closer, 16-12, with a 45-yard field goal by Greg Zuerlein early in the fourth quarter. And I'm like, still, you know what that means? That still means we need to get a touchdown. Look at, let me go over these stats before I get into the last 4 minutes and change of this game that shows so much promise. Man, not really, but just gives us a little bit of tease of what might have been, what could be, but what ultimately wasn't. The Raiders, 15 first downs to our 14. For once, we actually was kind of efficient on third down, 7-16 versus the Raiders, 5-15. We outgained the Raiders 365 total yards to 274. I believe this is the second consecutive game we've outgained the opposing offense. Our problem is in our defense. A lot of these yards, yes, were, I wouldn't say in garbage time, but in times that wasn't really essential to us winning the game because we did not get into the end zone. We did not score a touchdown. Total plays were pretty much even, 63 to us, 62 to them. Turnovers. More importantly, we had 2. We coughed it up once, but that one was costly. But even more so than that turnover was this. Penalties. We were penalized 8 times for 83 yards. The Raiders were penalized 3 times for 25 yards. And every one of our penalties was at the absolute worst time. Now, I'm going to say this. A little less than 5 minutes remaining in the game. We're driving down, and Zach is zipping the ball. A lot of difficulty in those plays, a lot of strain in those plays, a lot of angst from the fan base in those plays, but he was getting us down the field. Garrett Wilson taking hit after hit after hit. Conklin coming up big with some clutch catches. Alan Lazard. When I say this man has the hands of stone, he's really the new age Ron Garvin, the man with the hands of stone. Even the time he caught the ball, he didn't catch it cleanly, so he really wasn't able to make a play after the catch because he had to secure the catch. We get down to inside the 30. And Zach, under 2 minutes remaining, Zach throws an interception. Actually trying to target Al Lazard, which I wouldn't have done, but when you only have one legitimate receiver, even makes you wonder why we gave up on Mecole Hardman. I guess he wasn't good enough to break our top 3 receivers, even though we got the hands of stone, a stalwart of catching penalties at the most inopportune time on our roster. Oh yeah, my bad. That's right. He's on A-Rod. Right-hand man. Well, not right-hand man, but you get it. Cobb is not even dressing anymore.
I discussed this last week on the audio edition, audio only edition of Sorts of Thoughts and Mike Steff, the Sprinkle of Salt, after the last Monday night debacle against the Chargers, of why we have parts on our team that don't fit in with the others, but that those are the concessions made in order to get Aaron Rodgers comfortable. Check it out. So all streaming platforms and podcasts are available. So after he throws that inopportune interception that effectively put the nail in the coffin, you know what our defense does? Our defense stands the fuck up. Yes, it does. It gets us one last opportunity with one timeout. Now, everybody knows, looking at this, looking at our team, looking at this game, that there's no way in hell we was going to drive the length of the field to get a touchdown in less than 50 seconds remaining. You know, clock management was big culprit, because after a dynamic throw by Zach Wilson and a clutch catch by Tyler Conklin to get us into Vegas territory, we allowed like 10 seconds of clock to go off the clock before we called that last timeout with 13 seconds remaining. That effectively gave us two shots at the end zone. First one really wasn't a shot because threw out of bounds. Second one, Hail Mary. And there's a lot of scuttlebutt. There's a lot of jokes going on Twitter/X that Conklin effectively defended the pass from Garrett Wilson, but he didn't know who was behind him. Garrett Wilson made a valiant effort, but it should have never came down to a Hail Mary. So the two games that we lost that effectively came down to a potential Hail Mary victory. Not counting opening night with the Hail Mary punt return for a touchdown. The Jets could truthfully be 2-7. The Giants game that we stole, and the Bills game. Those are two games that probably should have lost based on our inept offense. There's a case that could be said, a case that could be made that we potentially could be 1-8. Jalen Hurts doesn't throw that interception, we lose that game. Look, I'm a realist. Yes, I've been a Jets fan for 41 years. 41 years, since 1982. I say that because that shows you what kind of insane individual that you listen and watch each week, week after week after week, because the definition of insanity is doing the same shit over and over and over again, expecting a different result. I've been a Jets fan for 41 years, expecting a different result. Watching this team of various ages, of various iterations, of various leadership, just continue over and over, time and time again, to let us down. Now, what can be done? I'll tell you the truth, I don't want to see CJ Uzomah on the field ever again for the rest of this fucking season. Because he's one of those dudes that I could see right now, and for some reason it gave me a vibe last year, but it didn't really just pop. He's one of those dudes that came to the city for a good time, for the bread. He rolled off a decent postseason the year that Cincinnati got to the Super Bowl. So I thought we was getting a quality back. I mean, a quality tight end. Oh, how I was mistaken. His reps should effectively go to Jeremy Ruckert. Tyler Conklin and Jeremy Ruckert should be our two tight ends. If by chance you want to go three tight ends, bring in an extra offensive lineman if we have one to spare. Because that cocksucker no longer needs to be on the field when it counts. Alan Lazard is a little bit different situation because supposedly he's a good blocker, but every time he blocks, it's either illegal crackback, a holding, hands to the face, illegal shift, some bullshit. I remember Alan Lazard in Green Bay specifically for this reason. There is a game late in the season, a couple of seasons ago, in which Green Bay was facing Baltimore, and he had the opportunity on plenty of opportunities to catch a touchdown pass, and kept on bouncing off his fucking chest, bouncing off his hands. The reason I remember that is because his ineptness effectively cost me a place in a semifinals of my fantasy football league. So I've always had a gripe against Alan Lazard. Yeah, I won $250 that year, but that's never fine. That's besides the point. He cost me a potential $250 more. So when he came to the team, I'm like, okay, I already know what this is. But being the fact that A-Rod is not playing currently, get his gimpy ass off my field. Get his gimpy ass off my screen. Put Brownlee in. Give Gibson more burn. Fuck. Even give Malik Taylor more burn. We need somebody to compliment, to be on the other side of Garrett Wilson that will garner some type of attention. Because right now, it's Garrett Wilson and nobody else. Breece Hall, yeah, you could say, look, matter of fact, I'll go down in stats. You know, Zach Wilson was the leading rusher of our team. Ain't that a bitch? Breece Hall, 13 rushes for 28 yards. Along with 7. I don't know. He's giving me that vibe that going into year 3, we're going to have to really, really, really think long and hard. Is he going to be a future Jet? Or should we cast him away for some type of value? Because for some reason, he's kind of giving me Jamal Adams vibes. Garrett Wilson to a certain degree, but he's actually been more mature this year than Breece Hall. I understand this is not an optimum situation for anybody on offense. Understand that they look and they're pretty much leaderless, they're rudderless, because they don't look at Zach Wilson as, yeah, he's the guy that's going to galvanize the troop. They're looking on the sideline and they're effectively making him null and void, because as much as he keep on opening his mouth, talking about, yeah, I plan on coming back in mid-December, guess what? If we're 4-7, there's no fucking reason for you to even attempt to come back. I was hearing on the airwaves about how Robert Saleh doesn't hold his players accountable, how he needs to be more like Coach Brian Daboll and scream and holler. But and this is the only thing I'm going to say, because like I've said before, I've said on Hidden Gems Football and I've said over here that I will not be giving any type of slander to the New York Giants just out of pure respect for my brother. Not out of respect for the Giants, but out of respect for my brother. But this is what I will say. That act is rearing thin in New York his damn self. best believe if he wouldn't have got to the playoffs last year, he'd probably be about to walk off the plank himself or be walked off the plank himself. That playoff appearance plus that playoff victory against Minnesota will buy him an extra year. Because I'm quite sure that John Mara doesn't want to be known as two and done Mara. I mean, yeah, it's not catchy, but it is what it is. Robert Saleh, as much as you want to say, well, he's not getting through to his team, with a fear of foul, y'all have to realize Robert Saleh is a defensive coach, defensive-minded coach. And even though he is the head coach, he is the CEO of the team on the field. If he was truly losing that team, he would have lost them last year. If he was truly losing that team, he was truly losing the locker room. Guess what? Defense would still not wouldn't be still playing playing balls out. Penalties, yes. And he even says, look, pre-snap penalties. But I handle things. I might not handle it for the world to see, but best believe behind closed doors, I handle things. He even told Michael K today, if you want to try to find a needle in the haystack, you can see how I handled things last night when it came to the asinine penalties. But he even said, if you're expecting him to just put on a show just because, it's not going to happen. He's not going to change his way of doing things. He's not going to compromise his integrity or the integrity that he has of that locker room, of those players, just for mass consumption, for people to see what he's already doing. And I agree. I personally believe that everybody thinks his job is on the line. His job is not on the line. Two reasons. One, and the most important thing, Aaron Rodgers, trust and believe, he wants Robert Saleh on that sideline. Nate Hackett is not going to be elevated to head coach. And with Saleh on the sideline, you get Obrick, who is the defensive coordinator. They come as a tandem. Our defense is not the reason why we're losing these games. Our defense is not the reason why we're in this predicament. The reason we're in this predicament is twofold, threefold, multifold. Lackluster offensive line, weapons that we thought was going to be more explosive, veterans we thought that were going to carry up there into the bargains that they aren't. Multifaceted on offense, but defense is not our reason why we're 4-5, looking at 4-7 directly in the face. So, plus, Rodgers, trust and believe, he went solid on that sideline because he kind of gets carte blanche. Same thing with Joe Douglas. Joe Douglas is not leaving either. There might be a change in personnel, but best believe, Aaron Rodgers gave up $30 million that was rightfully his. He has a large say-so on the happenings of what's going on with Gangrene. For now, in the foreseeable future, you get rid of these two cogs, you might as well start all over from scratch next year, because Rodgers either will not be engaged or he was like, you know what, I'm retiring. I don't need this shit. So where does that lead us? That leads us to this coming Sunday in Buffalo against the Buffalo Bills. But all right, we should be facing Buffalo with a chance to knock them down a peg. Even perhaps get them out of playoff positioning. Would that happen? I don't know. I know right now we have to concern ourselves with us. Unfortunately, their weakness we can't exploit because their weakness in the secondary, their weakness in the defense, and our offense makes everybody look like the 85 Bears. Yeah, I know. Y'all were probably expecting some witty antidote, some funny shit for me to say, but guess what? No, it's not time for fun and games. Why do you think I broke out the black classic JET of Jet Jet Jets hat? On top of the fact that it was on sale, so. Anywho, America's team would not be denied. I will go down with the ship. I will walk off the plank with my team, like I've been doing for the last 41 years. Is this some bullshit? You best believe it's some bullshit. But I'm kind of accustomed to the bullshit. I thrive. I thrive in negativity. I just thrive in negativity. Yeah. So it is what it is. Another wasted 3 hours, three hours and change of my life. And you know, the older I get, these chances don't come. You can't really afford to keep wasting time. Time keeps on ticking, ticking, ticking. Way in the future. Yeah. So. Outro. Well, that brings us to the end of an interesting edition of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast. I'd like to thank each and every one of y'all for making me and this here podcast the one y'all choose to view. And more importantly, the one y'all choose to listen to. Next week will be more of the same. Hopefully, I'll be in a better mood. I'll be in better spirits. I'll be better health-wise because, I don't know. Y'all might not be able to tell, but my voice is halfway gone. And, yeah. This is it is what it is. Before I get out of here, though, I like to let y'all know, or matter of fact, I like to show this little clip courtesy of the 19 Media Group, courtesy of the Mojo King, courtesy of Hidden Gems Football, and see how y'all like it. Put down in the comments this newfound way of advertising HGF. Give it a listen. Now, for the Texans, they pulled out an incredible last-second come-from-behind victory against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the arm of rookie sensation C.J. Stroud, who threw 5 touchdowns, including the game winner with under 20 seconds remaining. For the season, C.J. Stroud has 14 touchdowns and 1 interception. That's right, 1 interception. DeMeco Ryans has to be the front runner for Coach of the Year so far. Nico Collins and Tank Dell have benefited greatly from the QB play of Stroud. That's why Robert Woods' absence and me a bag of shells.
Yeah. I personally like it. A new thing, a new way of just a new avenue. You know, don't know how long it's gonna last, but it saved me some precious time. So anything that saves me from precious time is much appreciated. And plus, it's for the common cause. And the common cause is for y'all motherfuckers not to only check me out here, but to check me out on Hidden Gems Football each and every Thursday on the YouTube page of the 19 Media Group. Yes, that's right. Hidden Gem Football, hosted by the Mojo King and myself, Mike Steph. New episodes drop each and every Thursday on the YouTube page of the 19 Media Group, but even more so on all streaming platforms. That's right. All streaming platforms wherever podcasts are available. And while I'm on my plug-in shit, pause,
I'm going to plug myself. The Salty Thoughts and Mike's Step podcast is available on the following platforms. Spotify, even though don't fuck with Spotify because I ain't getting no bread from that. Fuck me up on, well, fuck with me on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever podcasts are available. New episodes drop each and every Wednesday, even though last week a new episode dropped on Monday. Or should I say Tuesday? Check me out on X at Mike Steffens, double underscore. Check me out on the gram at Mike, double underscore Steph. And check me out on TikTok at Mike Steph, single underscore. Yeah. Darn, just that little burst of energy just took me out. Took me out. But what else do y'all expect from a visionary? A revolutionary! Dare I say, a dashing individual. But today is not the day for smoke and mirrors. Today is not the day for me to elaborate on my debonair looks, my outstanding personality, my multifaceted and big, thick ego. I was about to nickname myself the Sugar Dick Daddy Mr. Long, but that nickname has been taken about 30 years ago. Speaking of 30 years ago, and I'm going to get out of here with this. 30 years ago, last Thursday, which makes me feel like an old motherfucker, with 30 years to the day that two of my most favorite albums came out, the debut of Wu-Tang Into the 36 Chambers dropped November 9th, 1993, which was about 2 years into my senior year of high school. Also on that day was Midnight Marauders by A Tribe Called Quest, November 9th, 1993, which was one of those seminal moments in my life and probably a lot of people's lives in my age bracket. So can't believe it's been 30 years so far already. A lot of things go like that. So with all that being said, I'm going to get out of here. Spin those things, because I wish if I was on audio only, best believe y'all get some Wu-Tang and y'all get some Tribe Called Quest. But being the fact that YouTube is on some bullshit with copyrights and all, I'm going to play it safe. So I will check y'all next week. Back at its regular time. Same Mike Steph time. Same Mike Steph channel. And take it easy. Goodbye. Oh, damn. Shit's crazy. Oh, my goodness. I swear my back is hurting. I think I need some pussy in my life. Oh, shit. Did I say that out loud? I keep on forgetting. But when I did say P-U-S-S-Y, I'm not talking about, you know what? I think less said the better. Look, this is all about my wife. Love you, Mrs. Ooh. Goodbye.
Bye.